Morning, Anthony.
Good morning, Tess.
What the hell happened on the weekend?
Look, what great weather we had on the weekend.
Oh, God. It was, actually. It was lovely.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
I mean, look, the Swans won against the Kangaroos in Tasmania.
That's good.
And there was the federal election.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, but look, good news, Tess.
Mm-hmm.
Your franking credits are safe.
Oh, my many franking credits that I have. Yes, good.
Yes. So let's look at this. After losing 56 news polls, the Liberal government was returned in a result that even the two parties never saw coming, even as the ballot closed at 6 p.m. And to show the level of cognitive dissonance, not only was there, you know, was every major poll basically off, but even the exit polls were wrong. Essential's exit poll had Labor on 52.5%.
Yikes.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Australia's pollsters are now on the same intellectual level as water diviners.
Yeah, pretty much, actually. I would trust the water diviners more, to be honest.
I mean, going into news poll this morning, you must be feeling that, you know, your pyramid failed and your crystals didn't work.
Yeah, you'd probably just be sitting in the corner crying a little bit, I think.
Mm. So let's do a bit of an autopsy here. You know, this will be a long and heavily contested one, but you know, Labor did run a big target campaign with a relatively unpopular leader. And this was all up against a presidential-style campaign from Scott Morrison. It mightn't have felt presidential because him going around and eating meat pies and sticking his thumb up, but, you know, the government's entire team was more or less sent out to pasture while Morrison single-handedly ran around the country with a very basic negative message towards Labor, Shorten. And in turn, there was what was the agenda that Scott Morrison was pushing?
If Bill Shorten gets in, you will lose money.
Yeah. And, you know, his agenda was it's good to have a go and Australia is a promise to all Australians. I mean, in short, basically, he offered a completely vacuous status quo against the risk of change. And I think that is probably one of the major factors in what we saw on Saturday night.
And it's interesting that you say about the presidential version of running it too, because it's been something that I've been saying is that this is now a problem in that what the political system may well learn from this is that if you come forward with a number of policies, it is not going to do as well as sending your front man out in a cap and screaming.
Yeah, I think we'll see a dumbing down of Australian politics, which is unfortunate. You know, look, a Labor will not campaign with such an ambitious program in, you know, probably our lifetimes. And I don't think they'll be openly as progressive again as well. Like, I think a few things have been lost since the weekend. You know, the message out of this is don't spook the horses. You know, better to run on a cult of personality.
Yeah.
You know, find your next Kevin Rudd. Make sure you fly to the US and have lunch with Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, Christ.
These are the lessons that the Labor Party would probably be making at the moment out of what happened on the weekend. And I think this is sad for Australian politics and sad for the country, ultimately. This will actually hold the country back, whether we can see it right now or not. Let's be gracious here. Scott Morrison has a clear mandate from this election.
Mm-hmm.
To do nothing and have a go.
Have a go. He's
do nothing, have a go.
He had a go and now he's got a go. Wait, no.
No, it doesn't
work. No, wait, hang on. I tried.
And let's also touch on the fact that there was a lot of talk about this, how this was the climate change election. This is the election where climate change was going to be a major issue in deciding people's votes. I think the result points to the opposite.
Mm.
You know, our PM brought a lump of coal into Parliament. He offered nothing substantive during this campaign. There was a clear alternative, which could have been a lot stronger, but at least it actually had serious measures in it. It's been rejected. You know, this is hardly a strong message from the Australian people that climate change is important. So I think, again, this is going to be something that will hold the country back for probably a decade.
And we had that report come out not even a year ago now saying that we had 12 years to do something or the planet was just irreparably screwed.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go another three with a Prime Minister who likes waving lumps of coal around.
So look, there'll be lots of wringing of hands, but Australia's not going to be at the vanguard of this fight.
No.
And, you know, look, I mean, we should talk about Tony Abbott. He lost his seat, and I do think climate change was a significant issue there, but it's almost the outlier.
Mm.
And also it's the outlier when you look at a night of good news for the Liberal Party. It was literally Tony Abbott was the single piece of bad news. And I think it's because Tony Abbott had made himself into such a ostracising figure. Like, I think he'd really put himself out there, and I think the people in his own seat just said, it's time.
I mean, there's always got to come an end to a political career. And 25 years, people, I think, were looking for something different, especially, like you said, that he had, you know, this target on his back a little bit.
Yeah, and do you want to be represented by a climate change denying freak show that belongs on Sky After Dark? I mean, you know, which is probably where we'll see him next.
Well, give it time. Yeah. Give it time.
And another thing to talk about, at the start of the campaign, George Christensen was under the pump for spending more time in the Philippines than his own seat. He did 28 trips to the Philippines over 4 years and slugged the taxpayers for these trips. But he was rewarded for his complete lack of interest in his job by a 10% swing.
How? How?
Regional Queensland is a very special place, Tess.
How? I just, okay, sure.
Dr. Phelps looks like she's no longer in the Canberra bubble. Dave Sharma likely to win the seat on his second attempt.
Yes.
And lastly, Fraser Anning's 15 minutes of hate is over.
Ah, we will be missed, obviously.
Yeah. But look, you know, anyone listening out there with a progressive viewpoint, I'm assuming you do have a progressive viewpoint listening to Teresa R. you know, obviously a disappointing and dispiriting result on the weekend. And for millennial listeners out there, you mightn't have experienced anything like this before.
Nope.
The rest of us have been here before, and relatively recently, this result in many ways echoes 2004, when Mark Latham lost to John Howard. Now, when I say the word Mark Latham, don't think of the Mark Latham 2019. The Mark Latham 2004 was a completely different figure. And in fact, the 2004 result broke him as a person. The person you see now is the result of that loss.
There's a direct link there.
Definitely. So, look, things to keep in mind was 2007 was a very different election.
Yes.
I mean, it was a presidential-style election from the Labor Party, and you can probably see what direction they'll go in. And, you know, and Morrison, you know, has shown that he can do miracles, but he's also shown he's not a deep thinker. He can't tackle some of the pretty serious structural issues out there. So I would just say keep heart, be realistic. But, you know, like from 2004 to 2007 shows how things can quickly change. So be positive. You know, Morrison will find an election against either Tanya Plibersek or Anthony Albanese a very different experience. Yeah, and look, finally, you know, Gough Whitlam, you know, famously said, maintain the rage. I'm seeing a lot of anger on social media directed at other Australians, you know, and at the country.
Queensland in general seems to be copying it bad.
I would suggest don't get angry with Australians. Don't get angry with the country. I think we need to be big about this and say that the Labor Party was ambitious. They didn't have maybe the right person leading them. I think we should aim a lot of anger at News Corporation. They have 70% reach, and in many ways, they're basically now in the business of misinformation. Mm. We should also look at social media. Facebook has been very significant in this result.
Yeah, and that's been a long-standing trend, hasn't it? Not even just through this election.
And we need to have a proper debate about, is social media good for our democracy?
It's a good point. It's a good question.
So, yeah, I think that's where our anger should go. Be much more productive. Because, yes, I think I was in a pretty dark place on Saturday night. I found myself watching The Drum at midnight.
Yes.
I'm going, what am I doing?
Well and truly quit by that point, but my mum said that was on, yes.
And you could tell it was like a social service to make sure that people didn't jump off the ledge.
Oh.
And the number of people watching that sober were probably the people in the studio.
Yeah, two.
Yeah.
Two people.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the weekend.
Thanks, Anthony. A cheery one.